You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR Productions, its ownership, management, or staff.
We've got the power.
This is Fight Back, 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 Back with Dr. Bob Fitrakis, heard exclusively on the world's greatest radio, TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard. I'm Bob Fitrakis. Fight Back, 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 Back. Fight Back, Back, Back.
Don't give up the fight.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. You're in touch with Dr. Bob Fitrakis. You're listening to Fight Back. And this is indeed radio the way it should be heard. Great topic tonight. That is, how do we make the Columbus City Council more democratic? Should we revise the charter and have more representation, specifically 7 representatives not at large, 7 from districts, and 4 at large. And in the studio with me, we've got Jonathan Beard, who, like myself, is a member of Columbus Citizens for Responsive Government. You heard me right, Responsive Government. A novel concept in this day and age. Jonathan, welcome to the show. And there was an article in the Dispatch today as well about the concept. And for the Dispatch, the reporting looked balanced.
It was fair and balanced. Bob, thank you for inviting me here. It's good to be on this show and good to be able to talk about this initiative, because that's something we don't do often enough in Columbus, which is talk about serious problems and talk about things we need to do to structurally change the way the city is heading.
Okay. Now, we're calling this the Columbus Coalition for Responsive Government. And the question is the obvious. Why would this type of system make Columbus government more responsive?
Well, Bob, one thing you have to start with realizing, right now we've got a very abnormal system. As you mentioned in the preview, we've got 7 city council members, all elected at large. And what that means is every citizen of Columbus votes for every city council member. So each council member has 783,000 constituents, I think the number is. That is not the way business is conducted in most cities. Of the 50 largest cities in America, Columbus being number 15th, only Columbus and smaller Seattle have this all-at-large representation, non-representation, on city council. The rest of the cities all have district-based or ward-based political systems. The theory behind that is that people closest to the neighborhoods will be able to best address the neighborhood issues, concerns, and interests. That's what we don't have now. That's what we're moving towards.
So you're saying that someone who lives on the east side will do a better job of representing the east side, or someone on the south side who lives on the south side, or someone on the west side will do a better job of representing than somebody at large?
Almost sounds silly to say. You know, one of the issues, again, we have council members who come for a period of time, 4 or 5 years, often with no background in any of the neighborhood issues, as you see in some of the council members. I'll not name names today.
And over the last 2 decades, usually appointed first and not elected.
That's right. I think the last 26 years, we've only had 4 contested elections where a non-incumbent, non-appointee won office.
Shocking. So what do we need to do? What do people need to do to change the city charter?
Well, step one has been taken, and thanks to yourself and others like you who have been looking at this issue for a long time, language was prepared to change the city charter, and the process had been looked at for several years. On November 8th, Election Day, we actually filed that language. So we've filed now with the city auditor a citizen's ballot initiative to change, to reform Columbus City Council and go to that structure you mentioned, 4 at large, 7 in the districts, 11 total. What people need to do, first step is we're in an educational campaign. People need to know about the issue, how it impacts them, how it impacts their neighborhood, and just as importantly, how it impacts the city at large. You know, the city will be determined by the quality of the neighborhoods. Its long-term success will only come if people want to come here, want to live here, put down roots, invest here, stay here, educate their kids here. That's the only way we'll be a great city and continue to thrive. So education is the first step, and we've got a webpage, www.columbuscoalition.info, with a lot of information about the rationale for the change, the process, and so forth. Moving next, once we're educated, we are in right now a signature campaign. We need, by our count, about 12,500, by the dispatch count this morning, about 9,500 signatures of registered Columbus voters to move this issue forward, okay? As a ballot initiative, we have the right to vote on this issue, okay? The process is, and we are out gathering signatures right now, once we get that number of valid signatures, which we expect to do by mid-June, we submit them to the city clerk. City clerk confirms the signatures with the Board of Elections, and then within 2 weeks, Columbus City Council must vote on the initiative or must forward it to the Board of Elections to be put on the November ballot. That's where we are. So what can you do as a citizen? Educate yourself about it. Understand the reason. Understand the benefit. Understand, you know, why are we still doing this? And we'll talk more about this, I'm sure, Bob, in the next few minutes. Then get active. Get on our website. We've got a place for volunteers. You can go on. We need volunteers to help with you know, web page design and upkeep, research, with certainly petitioning, with managing petition gathers. Almost anything you can imagine related to a campaign to inform people, we've got a need for help. And this is a citizens volunteer initiative. And then finally, we've got ballots circulating now, or we've got petitions circulating throughout the city. And find out how to get on one. We will be going out to all the neighborhood associations, the area commissions, the civic associations, and doing speakers tours there. We just got off an 11 tour of all the branch libraries of Columbus Metropolitan. We're trying our best to get information out there, but hit us on our website or give us a call even and let us know of your interest, and we will get ballots, we will get petitions to you. We can be reached at 595-2986, and again, our website is interactive, and you can email us from the website or post comments or fill out a form to volunteer, and that's www.columbuscoalition.info.
Bob Petragas on Fight Back, talking with Jonathan Beard, who's with the Columbus Coalition for Responsive Government. What do you say to critics who say everything's fine, Columbus is well-run, and this is going to create a ward system, and we're going to end up like Cleveland or Toledo?
Oh, those evil wars. Those evil wars. Like, you know, those evil wars occur in all of the cities we compare ourselves to, all the cities we aspire to. So Indianapolis, San Francisco, Austin, Texas, Fort Worth, Texas, Charlotte, North Carolina, Baltimore, Boston, Portland. All those cities have, you know, the standard model of governance, which includes districts. You know, one of the things, Bob, that I think has been illustrated in the papers recently has been the fact that at-large systems are largely credited with strengthening the influence of well-vested, well-moneyed, permanent institutions, essentially the business class.
Because under our system, right, you've got to run citywide. It's a sprawling city, and you've got to reach 800,000 people. And the wards would only be about 100,000 people, and they'd actually be in your area, your neighborhood.
That's right. And the thought is, you know, we don't know half these people who run for council right now. They have a hard time. It costs $150,000 as a non-incumbent to run a competitive city council race. That's a lot of money when you've got 7 well-heeled incumbents in there who can raise money, who have a infrastructure that's going to support them, who support each other. You know, please remember that all these folks run as a ticket, as a team. So when one raises money...
But I think only one's allowed to talk. No, at least in the commercials I saw. Well, go back. I threw you off your train of thought there.
Okay.
I remember watching those commercials thinking, they're running as a team, but it just seems like the council president gathers most of the money and does most of the talking.
That's exactly right.
It's like they that speak with one voice.
That's exactly right. And, you know, if you listen to the commercials, you know, not only do they talk with one voice, but they're funded by one person. So if you listen to the radio ads for Herschel Craig and for Michelle Mills in particular, the last five or six words were always paid for by friends of Ginther. And so you wonder how
and
independent
who
are
these friends of Ginther?
That's right. Who are they?
Well, in some cases, they're people that do quite well by getting public funding of the arena.
That's perhaps the best example out there about how the money class is supported by this at-large system of governance. If you remember, Bob, you know, the citizens have voted this arena down, publicly funded arena down, four or five times over the last generation.
And even there was a referendum on it, and during the referendum, they specifically denied public funding going to the arena.
But somehow, in the span of what appeared to be 5 or 6 weeks, not only did the Columbus City Council and the administration agree to fund the arena, but they were able to pass this measure, allowing only three people to speak in opposition to it at the council meeting. So when you talk about democracy and representation and so forth, you know, what you see there is that money talks, and, you know, unfortunately the rest of us pay for it. You know, at $250 million over the next 27 years, that's the amount of this bailout of, you know, Dispatch, which gets 10% of that, and Nationwide Insurance, to bail out money-losing private enterprises, which are the Blue Jackets and the Arena. It's unbelievable when 3 weeks earlier there was a hearing about vacant abandoned houses in the city, and what we heard from council is, we don't have the money. But in the span of 3, 4, 5 weeks, they pulled together $250 million to refinance private business failures.
Money, I might add, had already been promised to the West Side.
That's
to
exactly right.
Redevelop really an area that's quite blighted and
quite neglected.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think of, if we had seven district council members, if you don't think the West Side council member would have stood up for his neighborhood, you've got another thought coming. He or she would have stood up, would have been counted, but instead what we get is this unanimous vote, as if everybody in Columbus is in support of this bailout.
And again, somebody like, say, former State Rep Dan Stewart, who lives on the West Side,
mm-hmm.
somebody who's been interested over there, you would have known that on council, should he have been elected under a different system, you know that he would have talked about the impact. You yourself have been involved with redevelopment, and I mean, what does that mean? You've dealt with the so-called empowerment zone. What could $250 million do for these blighted inner city areas that have been devastated by the largest economic downturn since the Great Depression? What's that money mean? Because you often have a shoestring budget to do redevelopment on.
It's a tremendous amount of money. And, you know, the despicable thing about it is we act like we don't have it when it comes to neighborhood improvement. Okay? We've got that money. By way of comparison, the federal government has granted about $43, $47 million in the neighborhood stabilization program money. We're talking about, you know, almost eight times that with $250 million of local funds that you don't have to apply for, you don't have to compete for, aren't subject to federal budget rescission, that are local dollars that we could have been investing in this housing unit, but instead we go down and people talk about the vacancies, the abandonment, the impact on their property values, and what we hear is we don't have any money.
Which also, in some cases, gets you less money, because as the property values fall, you're bringing in less tax revenue.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
There's models for that.
And you're chasing people out. People who look at a neighborhood and see falling property values don't buy in.
And often, and you know better than anyone, you're also inviting crime in.
That's exactly right.
Because when you see abandoned houses and broken windows and things rotting and no infrastructure development, is it not a signal to a criminal class that this is the type of area we don't care about?
That nobody cares. That nobody cares. That we can work here with impunity. That we can take over an abandoned house and sell drugs out of it or prostitute out of it. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. One of the most distressing things, politics is about priorities, okay? That's the only reason we have politicians, which is to help us decide what to do or to implement the decisions of the people. And when you see the will of the people thwarted so swiftly, so absolutely, and so irrevocably by this act of 7 council members who are responding to the business community, most of whom don't even live in Columbus, let's be honest about this.
The 4 families that own the Blue Jackets, they're really suburban, multimillionaire families. So I'm always curious, how do people that don't live in the city and don't suffer through the crime and live in those blighted neighborhoods really get the tax dollars into their literally their personal coffers?
Well, I think we've got a public utility that's going to move about 6 blocks to from downtown to the Nationwide district, and is going to reap a tax benefit for that. How does that happen? How does that happen?
Well, again, I think you're arguing because there's no representation. I mean, yeah. Aren't there areas of the city that should be not only tax abatement but no tax zones, to allow for redevelopment, entrepreneurship, and really sunrise businesses, new to business? I mean, over on Main Street, where you've been located, it seems if there was really no tax there and some stimulus money, you could create a business community there.
The issue isn't that the money's not being spent. The money is being spent. It's just being spent with millionaires and billionaires. And that's where the big dollars go. The rest of us are scrounging around for crumbs. If you talk to any of the community development corporations in Columbus, all their funding has been cut year after year after year. The city does a very poor job of funding local community development efforts, but these are the people who are bringing back our neighborhoods. These are people who are continuing to invest in our neighborhoods. These are the people who are continuing to give the private sector confidence that our neighborhoods will be there, that they will be strong for the future. It's really just amazing to me that here in Columbus, you do not hear alternative voices except on alternative radio. We do not have a two-party system here in Columbus. I'm a lifelong Democrat. I'm a Cleveland Democrat. Sometimes I say I'm damn near a socialist. I've supported the party all my life. But there is value to having more than one party in charge, more than one party in power, because it sponsors a type of dialogue that puts these things on the table and that prompts you to consider and fund and implement things that you might not otherwise do.
So, as we look at this, basically you're saying it's a one-party system in Columbus, and that one-party system, like one-party systems everywhere in the world, isn't working.
That's exactly right. That's exactly. I'll take that one step forward. You might talk about communism as being a one-party system, and Big Brother and 1984 and so much. But have you really watched CTV3 these days? It is nothing more than government propaganda. It's used by the city of Columbus with taxpayer dollars, and they put council members up there as they're running for election, very happy with police and firefighters who have to be there smiling. It's their job, and that's their boss. But it's little more than propaganda, government propaganda for those in power. What happened to public access television? Why isn't that funded? I submitted to Andy Ginther today my comments on the city's budget, saying you've got this money for CTV3. Let's put 40 hours a week of community-based, community programming into the mix there so that we can get alternative views, because alternative dollars, tax dollars, pay for this station, and it should represent all the people of Columbus, not just the government of Columbus.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. This is the home of Dr. Bob Fitrakis. That's me. And we're talking about the key issues of the day. Stay right there. This is Fight Back with Dr. Bob Fitrakis. We're discussing how to make Columbus City Council more democratic with Jonathan Beard, Columbus Coalition for Responsive Government. more about the current efforts to expand the numbers of representatives on the council and to get them to come from actual areas of the city and represent that area. Coming up next.
I go to school with your children. We say the Pledge of Allegiance together. I'm one out of every four children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger. I'm lucky to grow up where I could be whatever I want. I want to grow up and be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry. Please visit feedingamerica.org today to find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for kids like me. Together, we're Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council. All right, I've gone through all the tracks, just move through the beats. Do your thing.
All right, everyone, let's hear it for West High's own Brooke Turner, a.k.a. DJ Hook.
Scratching up my first school dance takes confidence. So we're getting into college. I've got what it takes. So do you.
Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Start taking the steps at knowhowtogo.org. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation, and the Ad Council.
You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
My name is Ruth Rusi. I volunteer with United Way, reading to children to help prepare them for a better academic future. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit PeaceCorps.gov.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. This is Dr. Bob Fitrakis. You're listening to Fight Back. We're here with Jonathan Beard. The topic, should we change the city charter in Columbus and elect 11 councilmen instead of 7? And 7 of them by district. You can join us on this conversation by calling 1-877-932-9766. One more time, that's 1-877-932-9766. Give us a call. You got a question for Jonathan Beard or myself? What do you think about the idea of actually having a representative from the east side, one from the west side, one from the south side, one from the north side in three other districts? 1-877-932-9766. Jonathan Beard, who normally is involved in the economic redevelopment of the city, what would cause someone, you're not known as radical, rabble-rouser, steady, doing yeoman work in, one of the worst neighborhoods in the city. What would draw someone like you into the fray to say we got to, at what point did you say it's not going to work? We've got to actually redo the charter. What brought you to that conclusion?
Well, I think it's something that you come to as a result of being honest with yourself and really looking at what you're doing and how it's working. And to get to the point where you're working hard, but you're so frustrated because you get unnecessary roadblocks, and you think, if I just had one advocate down there who understood what we were doing, if I didn't have to reorient new council members who come in and don't know anything about what we're doing, time after time after time, I could do in 5 years what it's taken me 10 to do. This past summer, we had some violence problems in one of the areas where I work. And it was, there was a bunch of drug-related shootings, and it was, you know, a bad time for the area impacting the residents. We worked on that problem. We'd been working on it for 2 years, and we thought, we know that one of the promises council made to us the year before was overturned and delayed and not implemented. And this following summer, we suffered the fruits of the inaction. We could not get audiences with council, which had the authority to do what we've asked them to do. We were not treated seriously. Phone calls weren't returned. Emails weren't returned. By the time we finally get a meeting, we're told, you know, we asked for one meeting objective is, do you understand we have a problem and can we work together on a solution? And we couldn't get the answer yes to that question, even though we had videotapes of shootings and drive-bys and you know, videotape of somebody being murdered. I mean, this wasn't he said, she said stuff. This was stuff we were showing them and asking them to respond to. And you just say, you know, any council member who lived in this neighborhood, who cared about this community, would act. But because it's an election season and we're running as a team and nothing can ever be bad in Columbus, we'll just refuse to acknowledge that any problem exists and we'll hope you go away. Well, we're not going away. You know, a lot of us live here. A lot of us are invested here. We're raising kids here. Okay? We're going to be here and we're going to work on these issues and make the city of Columbus the best it can be. And if people, and if people won't listen, we'll find people who will listen. We'll put something in place structurally. This isn't a single election that we're talking about. You put good people in a bad system, you get bad results 9 times out of 10. We're trying to put good people in a good system and get good results consistently.
Jonathan Beard with Columbus Coalition for Responsive Government, 1-877-932-9766. Also, it seems you've, January 18th, you've made an extensive public records request to the city of Columbus. I know you deal with budgeting and numbers and your redevelopment, wanting to essentially know how this ordinance came about that bailed out, you know, four of the richest families in Columbus and one of the largest corporate entities. Why are you doing this?
Well, I think the citizens of Columbus have just ensured that another generation of wolves will be rich. You know, I don't think that's the city's role. I don't think that's the citizens' role when so many of us are working day to day and struggling to make ends meet. You know, a quarter of a billion, that's billion with a B, dollars, we've committed to failing business enterprises.
And that's the exact same number the citizens went to the poll in the late 1990s and said could not be given to an out-of-state billionaire, Lamar Hunt. A quarter of $1 billion. So the exact same number the voters voted on and said, no way. Should this go to a private business, the Blue Jackets, they're now given that exact same amount.
So my letter asks the question, how does this happen? People have a right to know how government processes information and reacts to it. So one of the things we found out after this ordinance passed and the bailout was made was that the Blue Jackets were days away from being forced into perhaps bankruptcy court by its creditors. Well, that begs the question, when all this is happening around election season, why wasn't the public told this before city council voted? When did council know? Who kept it secret from us? We should be able to ask those questions. So we've got a public information request in that asks about the timeline and sequence of these events that yielded this decision to commit $250 million to four of the richest families in Columbus.
And it's odd, a couple things strike me as, since Monday we celebrated, this is 2 days later, Martin Luther King's birthday, and his last great battle, was for a poor people's movement, that he actually was in Memphis fighting for a living wage for the sanitation workers.
That's right.
He was dealing with economic issues
That's right.
when he was assassinated, and that was his focus. Much like at the same time we have the Occupy movement, which is raised over and over again. Why does this 1%
keep getting,
you know, a disproportionate, incredibly large piece of the pie, and increasingly the vast majority of people, 99%, often fight over crumbs? And that this strikes me is that what you're doing and what the coalition is doing here is in line with a mood and a sentiment in this country that, and really this goes to the crux of democracy in many ways. I don't mind for the richest families running the city. What I do mind is the fact they live in the suburbs and they never run for election. Instead, they get an appointed council. You appoint a bunch of people, sometimes arguably not the most active or the best and the brightest, and they quickly and secretly do the biddings of four families that don't even have the courtesy of living in the city or submitting their names to an actual vote where I don't think they'd be elected.
That's right. That's all the money in the world, I think, won't allow for those interests to be elected. But if they can work behind the scene and work the levers of those in power, you know, that's what's happening. And it's sad to see. And it's sad to see, I think, in such a flagrant display so recently. I mean, it's really gotten to a standpoint where there's almost no shame in what's happening, and no attempt to hide. And, you know, we're just going to ram this down the public's throat. You know, we all, as working people in the city of Columbus, we faced a 25% city income tax increase. But now we're giving away $250 million to millionaires? Tell me how right that is. And Bobby, you've mentioned Occupy, the Occupy movement. You know, that's generally referred to as being on the left. And you've got the Tea Party on the right. And you've got us in the middle. But it really is all Americans asking questions about the conduct of government and the conduct of our elected officials.
And in many cases, many people in the Tea Party and many people in Occupy and people in the Green Party and the Republican Party and many Democrats like yourself, there really looks like the coalition to redo the charter is the 99%, because in many ways the arena issue is so blatantly for the 1% who don't live in the city and will never live on the south side of Columbus, will never live on the west side, will never live here on the near east side. It's just they're not coming in from their mansions in the suburb and actually looking at the neighborhoods, which they're literally strip mining. In many ways, they're strip mining the assets of this community to make their life, which is already incredibly good, that much better. And in many cases, it's not even the lifestyle. What's really at stake here is power. Politics is about power, and the existing system with seven at-large representatives who are dependent on the money of the wealthy. On this Friday, we're going to have the anniversary of Citizens United, where the Supreme Court of the U.S. says money is speech and corporations are people. Let me say that money is not speech. And corporations are not people.
And money is legal, free speech.
Legal fictions. And what bothers me is you're right. We can't even use a small amount of our money, because this is a progressive city with alternative voices, a small amount of our money to go on public access. They've shut down the public's voice.
Do you remember when at council people could get on the agenda in front of the cameras and say what they want? Well, they shut that down, didn't they? Unless you're speaking on an agenda item, the cameras are off, the meeting is over.
And the reason you know it's an agenda item, because it's already been decided behind closed doors.
That's exactly right.
It's an agenda item. We've already made up our mind on that. Go ahead. What do you think?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, yeah, it's...
There's so many things wrong. And, you know, again, back to... These council members and the need for diversity of thought. You know, one of the things when this bailout is announced and comes through, they talk about they're supporting the economic engine of the Nationwide Arena District and how it's a job growth area. Well, they can't even tell us how many of those jobs simply move from one portion of downtown to the Arena District. We know we have law firms. We know that commercial office space is the greatest employer down there. That's not at all dependent on arena traffic, let alone blue jacket traffic that happens after 7 o'clock in the evening, 41 days a year. You know, we're not even talking about a full schedule of events or a year-round thing there. We're talking about something that happens intermittently, like the rodeo. 41 dates a year is why the public coughed up $250 million. In return, the city got an anchor tenant in the Blue Jackets that will never pay rent. What kind of sense does that make? If you do anything on those 41 days other than have a Blue Jackets game, if you've rented any one of those days, you'll do better than having your anchor tenant there. This whole thing doesn't make sense, but nobody's asking hard questions downtown before the decision is made. Nobody's letting constituents know things are moving that you may not appreciate before they've already moved.
Is it any different than on the east side when you build new condos or new housing or office space when you know it's going to fail in advance? You know it won't pay for itself. And I'm thinking if there was actually an east side representative, they would have known that because everyone on the east side knew it.
They wouldn't want a failure. Everybody knew you can't sell $250 million condos on that section of the street. But then on top of that, we find out in the paper after the fact that they never had enough money to complete the project. Then we find out their strategy was to finish the project that they started every unit based on with the revenue generated from sales. But we all know we're in the worst housing market of any of our lifetimes, and nobody is buying condos anywhere. How do these things happen? How do they go on? We've got a $60 million bridge that was supposed to cost $20 million. Who's asking the questions? Whose head's on the chopping block? These are our dollars. It's not just another $20 million doesn't matter. It does matter.
And arguably, I mean, we really didn't have a debate on the Scioto Mile or whatever they're calling it down there, which was a tremendous outlay of infrastructure that one of the things we never seem to ask is, what if you took that same amount of money and spent it on the Near East Side, spent it on Main Street, or that same amount of money and spent it on Broad Street on the West Side? How much business, how much taxes would you have generated?
Well, we made what appears to be a plaything for the upper middle class downtown, and you know that's
many
okay.
Who
but the
come
issue
in from
is,
the suburbs,
right? But the issue is where was that discussion on council? Where was that public debate that said we've got a choice of where to spend these dollars, and we're going to sit down as a community and talk about before it's a done deal? Yeah, I'm waiting right now for the fence and the turnstile to go up around Bicentennial Park and the water feature. It's only a matter of time.
And on the other hand, which has been pointed out by the Near East Area Commission, is a lot of these, pools haven't been maintained, been shut down, and often rec centers are shut down, while $250 million goes to the wealthiest families in Columbus, and there's no real debate on that in terms of, recreation. We've got to go to a break right now, but this is TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. We're on the move. So go to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Check out our blogs, our podcasts. Send this one around to your friends. Listen live and call us 1-877-932-9766. Stay right there. We'll continue talking about the state of the city, what's going on in Columbus, Ohio, and why we need to change the city charter. More about how you can have a more responsive government coming up next.
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go. For those of you that's on the go, you can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcast for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage, scroll down to Featured Podcast. Click on Play or click on Subscribe for more programs. Or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come, another reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Job School Day students, community, high seven the classroom, thousand America attendance. Quit variety day of reasons. Job like to get, baby raise, relative help and elderly. Happening local on it's a level. Catastrophe, it's a national.
7,000 high school students drop out every school day. It doesn't make sense to us either. We can keep students in school. Visit boostup.org and take the first step. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
This is Salif Diarra, a local health worker in a remote village in Mali, West Africa. This is Mori, a child who survived malaria because of Salif's efforts. This is Bintu, a grateful mother, one of many in Salif's village. This is you, becoming part of the story. Help local health workers like Salif make the good go even further. Visit goodgoes.org to see the many ways you can help. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
I go to school with your children. We say the Pledge of Allegiance together. I'm one out of every four children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger. I'm lucky to grow up where I could be whatever I want. I want to grow up and be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry. Please visit feedingamerica.org today to find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide seven meals for kids like me. Together, we're Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
7,000 high school students drop out every school day. Stack their desks one atop the other, and it's a pile more than 17,000 feet high. Go to boostup.org and learn how you can help. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Before a disaster turns your world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at readynyc.org. This message brought to you by the New York City Office of Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
My name is Tom.
My name is Cindy.
We give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
We know our time and money are going to the right places.
We don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM. Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. This is Dr. Bob Fitrakis. You're listening to Fight Back. We've got Jonathan Beard in the studio. If you want to call, the number, 1-877-932-9766. That's 1-877-932-9766. So, I know there was a topic you wanted to talk about, media.
Yeah.
Consolidation. And, how that will affect the city and maybe this issue.
That's going to be a huge issue for Columbus and generations going forward. I think it was back in August or September, the Dispatch Media Group announced that they purchased a couple dozen other media outlets, placing major media largely in the hands of one conglomerate. The interesting thing about the press release issued by the Dispatch was that, you know, after they bought Columbus Live and the other papers, suburban newspapers, and I think they already own Fronteras News and you know, all the other, you know, the 97.1 The Fan, I think, and WBNS. But as they announced this purchase of, I think it was another 23 media outlets, the reasons they gave us were so that Columbus citizens could have access to the best news stories possible, and the hallmark of the Dispatch is editorial convergence. So what that says to me is we're going to tell you what we think you should know, and we're going to tell you how we think you should know it across every one of our platforms. You know, when you have this at-large system which feeds feeds you know, kind of the titans, feeds the big players in towns, you know, we all need to really shiver in our boots at the thought that even more information will be controlled by one of these big titans that just got the equivalent of a $25 million bailout as 10% of a $250 million arena Blue Jackets bailout. You know, they've had their say in Columbus affairs. You know, they'll continue to have their affairs. That's why it's so important for people who listen to stations like Talktainment, for all the alternative media sources coming out. To you know, Ray Miller is publishing the African American News Journal. We've got the Columbus Post still. These are now small circulation entities, but we've got to support them. If you want to hear anything different than the party line, you've got to look in different places, and we've got to build these, make them strong for Columbus. Otherwise, you know, this will be no more different than George Orwell's 1984.
And I'll also check out freepress.org. I'd like to post Jonathan's letter to Andrew Ginther there so listeners would get a chance to look up what that public records request is. And, you know, as we think about, you know, how to go forward, it almost seems essential that you have to redo the charter. There appears to be no way to internally reform this system.
Look at the big decisions that have been made recently. You know, we talked about the nationwide bailout. We didn't talk about the demise of City Center. We didn't talk about the demise of Northland Mall, which is now a dog
build an pound, incredibly expensive mall with, taxpayers' money, a huge loan still on the books to Capital South, which is a nonprofit redevelopment corporation, which many, including the Wolves, the most powerful leaders in the city, sit on that board, including G. Gordon Gee, and then have it for 20 years, put marble in it, glass, and then vote to allow New Albany and Easton to occur, assist them, destroy the downtown mall, and don't offer it to the people. Don't offer it as a business incubator, a nonprofit incubator, but destroy it and then proclaim the grass underneath it to be a park.
And, you know, and where is the media asking hard questions? Let's talk about the decision to tear down City Center Mall, okay?
Well, all that marble was oppressing people.
they said at the time that they looked at all the alternative possible uses for it and came up with a study that said demolition's the best option. Well, who did the study? Do you remember that, Bob? Georgetown Companies, developers of Easton, did the study that said City Center should be torn down replaced with retail.
And again, it was the old dying of cancer, the leading attorney who worked for all those people. One of the 1% that was Harrison Smith on his deathbed
was asking for that document.
What are you doing? Going off to meet his maker.
The former chairman of the Downtown Development Commission could not get access to this document because they said it was a privately funded study, even though it resulted in a publicly funded demolition of publicly owned property.
Well, what better than to do the people's business publicly on a private study that the people can't look at? Okay, maybe there's a problem there. Let me rethink that one.
I'll have to think about that one too.
So, what do you want? The people to have information as to why these decisions are being made, Jonathan?
We're asking too much. We're obviously asking too much. I mean, it's not our government. We don't own the government. The government owns us. Is the attitude you get when you ask questions about how these decisions got made. But we're going to ask. We're going to find out these answers.
I very seldom agree with the Republican Party on anything. But when the chair of the Franklin County Republican Party said, well, city council seems less like government and more like a private club, I'm thinking, absolutely correct.
You know, you invite people to a private club. You invite who you want to invite. Let's take a look at the last election. We had a rookie council member, Michelle Mills, who was appointed to council.
Vote Mills. Michelle Mills. She won't talk for herself, and you won't know what she stands for, but vote Mills.
Paid
Michelle.
So you've got this rookie council member. If you look at the four-page resume that's on Columbus City Council webpage site, it's the resume they evaluated her candidacy as she applied to be appointed to this position. There is not a single mention of the word public, safety, crime, crime prevention. Nothing like that shows up on this resume of this lifelong social worker. Social worker is an honorable occupation. My mother was a social worker. My wife was a social worker. I have no problems with the occupation. But why then, in your private club, well, because it's your private club, can you put her in charge of the Public Safety Committee, which is 70% of the city's budget and the most important
because
thing?
Because she doesn't know anything about it, and thus they can tell her what to do.
I think I heard the angel singing. The lights finally put on.
Oh, my God. She doesn't know anything about this. In fact, she's worked on the other side and probably complained about police brutality and driving while black and that the police need a more comprehensive community approach to policing. She'd be perfect.
Let's put her in charge.
Which really is a style of management that's been made famous.
And it worked. And it worked. She, despite the fact that her campaign was funded by the council president, she was the leading vote getter, despite the fact that she had no measurable accomplishments and nobody knew anything about it.
Councilwoman Mills, watch her stand with police officers. Watch her stand with firemen. Mills for council.
She's always wanted to sit in a shiny red fire truck, she said, on CTV3. And she got that chance to do so in front of the citizens of Columbus.
And she even got to ring the bell and push the siren button. The perks! Well, you know, I mean, again, the question, Herschel Craig, who, you know, I've known, I've liked, I've gotten along with, but, you know, in a lot of cities, maybe if there was a different way by district, and he was representing the West Side, maybe his neighbors might have been a little bit upset that he was using, you know, the dead mother-in-law's handicap pass and using that. In a lot of cities, you get fired for that kind of stuff.
But, you know, it points to this entitlement mentality that happens when people get a...
Well, he's in the club.
Well, he's in the club. He sits in the big leather seats on the big podium. You know, God willing, in November 2012, we will have folding tables and desk chairs for them. And you know, those seven symbols of power and prestige will be reduced to something more human scale.
And just from my own perspective, I was the number two choice many, many years ago. And the guy who was number one, they picked over me, Michael Coleman.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, why?
And he's been moving,
why? I've been out.
Down ever
he
since.
Wasn't doing anything. I'm like, why wouldn't they pick me? I'm out in the street. I'm gathering signatures. Why would they pick a corporate attorney for Schottenstein, Zox, and Dunn tied to the Schottenstein family and suburban tacky house development? Why would they pick him?
Oh, it makes you scratch your head.
Why are you picking the guy tied to the developers of the suburb for your account? What if he ends up mayor?
Yeah, that would be bad.
It all depends on how you see it. So again, as we celebrate 2 days ago, Martin Luther King's birthday, and as I've said many times, King wasn't really known for sitting around eating pancakes. And should be honored for his activism. How can people get involved in this charter change and bringing real representation to Columbus?
We want to know who you are. Hit our website, www.columbuscoalition.info. If you go to the volunteer tab, there's a short form that you can complete to let us know who you are and how to get in touch with you. We want you involved. We've sent letters asking the mayor, asking President Ginther, asking Mike Curtin at the Dispatch to come join this movement. There is no good excuse, no good rationale for an all-at-large council. It's been sued by the Department of Justice across the South over the last 20 years because it disenfranchises voters. If you look at the literature, the political science literature, what we're proposing maximizes voter power. They've looked at, with at large and with district council members, you know, what impact can you have on election of your council member? Then what impact can that council member have on the body that he or she represents? And the number they come up with is the square root of the total number of council members. In our case, we're asking for 11 council members total, which would mean the square root of that is about 3.3. So we hit the nail right on the head with 4 members at large, 7 from districts, total of 11. That maximizes voter impact. That maximizes your ballot choice.
Well, I mean, one of the oddest things, I'm at the AME church as I am every Martin Luther King Day for the alternative celebration with the activists that are out in the streets regularly, in living out the values of King. And I run into a man, a black man, who comes up to me and says, "Hi, I'm a councilman from Reynoldsburg." And I'm thinking, I mean, I didn't want to be racist, but how does a black man get elected in Reynoldsburg? He goes, "Well, first I ran at large and I didn't get elected. Then I ran in the ward and I got elected. People knew me. Didn't matter whether I was black. They knew I was a good neighbor. They knew what I stood for.
That's exactly.
And I got elected."
That's exactly.
It was a much smaller entity. So.
And a much greater endorsement.
Right. It's your neighbors and friends. And he actually knew the problems in that area. And that's what mattered to his fellow citizens. Not his race. The ward system's working in Reynoldsburg. It's in 47 out of 50 cities in the United States where you actually have representation of people in the neighborhoods where they live. They know who to go through. So let's bring the modern world to Columbus.
Democracy.
So, this is TalkTainmentRadio.com. We got 2 minutes left. If you're listening to us after the fact on blogs or podcast, send this out. Urge people to get involved with Columbus, the Columbus Coalition for Responsive Government. What's your last words to the listeners, Jonathan?
Last words, we've got good people. I like the mayor personally. I like the council members. I'd love to have them as neighbors. They're good people in a bad system, okay?
This is systemic. That is the point, right? Is that there's a lot of pressure if you want to get reelected and
you've got to
run over just, you know,
220 miles. Square miles.
220. I mean, it's a small fiefdom. It's the size of Rhode Island. It's bigger than Liechtenstein, for God's sake. I mean, the Vatican City State pales by comparison. I mean, we got to change the system,
do we not? That we've got to change the system. And people, we've got to do it. We won't get help. We've got to get out there and make this happen.
220 square miles. And some of those people ain't even in Franklin County.
And you could fit Columbus and Cincinnati and Akron in the middle of the city's boundaries and still have room to spare. I mean, it's a huge city. And we, you know, the same 7 people that represented us in 1914, that number's a whole lot different in 2012.
It absolutely. And prior to 1914, when they changed it, we actually had 21 council people.
That's exactly
we used
right.
to have, and diversity. 3 parties, including a party of the left. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio the way it should be heard.
Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up.
Thank you for listening to Fight Back, Back, Back. Heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com. I'm Dr. Bob Fitrakis. Make sure you get up and stand up for your rights. Fight Back.
Thank you for listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power. Radio, the way it should be heard.